Good morning. This is Brother James Melton with Bible Baptist Church in Sharon, welcoming you to the Bible Baptist broadcast. Bible Baptist Church is located at 130 East Main in Sharon. We have Sunday school at 9:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. Always following the preaching, we'd have a meal right here at the church. And following the meal, we have an afternoon service at 2:30. So you're welcome to be with us for any of our services, including the meal, and also Wednesday night services at 7 p.m. All right, I would like to take a little time today to just go through one of our best gospel tracts that we publish. We publish about 180 titles over at Bible Baptist Church with our print shop, and have done so for a great number of years. And one of our tracts is called The Shocking Truth About You. The Shocking Truth About You. And one reason people will not read the Bible or will not read it faithfully and read it completely is that it tells the truth about them. The Word of God knows the truth about you and tells it. And it's not very pleasant to have someone just start telling the truth about you, because you have all kinds of little secrets and things that you didn't think anyone knew about, and yet God knows about them. And since God knows about them, he puts them in His Word. You see, you're serious? The Bible talks about me personally? Well, let me say it this way. The Bible talks about your nature. Okay, the Bible says a lot about your sin nature and reveals what God knows that you really are. And mankind will not often point out these things, but God is pretty good about it. And it's very healthy, very beneficial to listen to what God says, because you can't get help for yourself if you don't face the reality. If you go to a doctor and he tells you the truth and says, "So I'm sorry, but you've got cancer, and you're going to have to get some very aggressive treatment. If there's any hope at all, you're going to have to get very serious, very proactive about this and deal with it." If you were to ignore that and say, "Well, I just don't believe that. One thing I can't stand is a bunch of bad, negative news," and get up and storm out the door, well, you're not going to get any help. Well, so it is with your spiritual condition. The sad thing about your spiritual condition, it's not something physical that you see. It's a thing of the heart that manifests itself in all kinds of ways, including physically. But when you see the physical, it doesn't stand out in big bright light saying you have a problem. You look around, other people have similar situations, and it's easy to just kind of identify with humanity and say, "Well, we're all this way, so what's the big deal?" Well, the big deal is it's called sin, and it's going to send you to hell if you're not born again. The problem is not, are you a good person or a bad person? The problem is you are a sinner, and something has to be done about that if you have any hope for salvation and a home in heaven and escaping the damnation of a burning hell. The Bible tells the truth about you. Let me go through some of these truths and just try to call to your attention what God says. And I will say this. I don't know I have no way of knowing what kind of background you may have. I have no way of knowing what kind of preaching you may have listened to. A lot of preachers are good, decent, moral men, and they have good hearts. They want what's best for their church members. I wouldn't question that with a lot of preachers, maybe some, but not most. But the problem is sometimes a preacher will care so much about a church member that they don't want to offend them. They don't want to rub them the wrong way. They don't want to scare them off. They think it's better to keep them on board and help them over, you know, gradually over a long period of time, little by little, rather than just coming right out and dealing with the real issue. I've always been the other way. I just deal with the real issue. I just open up. I've always appreciated people telling me the truth. And when I started getting in the Bible and learning as a young man, it was because an older preacher was telling me the truth. He was shooting straight, and he was rough. He was hard. He was tough as nails. But I knew that man had a good heart, and he loved the book. He loved God, and he just wanted others to know what God said. And it is in that same spirit that I come to you this morning just to tell you, God has some things to say to you, and he wants you to set up, he wants you to man up, he wants you to listen and pay attention and not run away and not turn off, you know, the radio or turn the station. He wants you to listen and receive his words today and be better for it, okay? Let me tell you what the Bible says about you, what God says you are. Not just what God says you have done or what you're guilty of. How God identifies you, what God says you are. God says you are a sinner. Romans 3, verse 23 says you are a sinner. You may want to jot these down and check them later if you would like. I'm not going to have time to turn to them or quote entire verses. I'm just going through a quick list. But God says you are a sinner. Do you realize what that means? God is not a sinner. And yet you are a sinner. You say, well, we've all sinned. Don't go there. Don't go there. That's not going to help you to say we've all sinned. All that does is help you to feel comfortable in your sin because everybody else has sinned too. That doesn't help you. I grant you that's true, but that doesn't help you. A convict in a federal penitentiary or on death row could say, well, we're all guilty of death. Okay. Now he said it. What does that accomplish? It accomplishes nothing. He's now one day closer to the electric chair. If you want to escape the punishment, you quit taking comfort in your condemnation and you start looking for a way out and saying, well, we're all sinners. That doesn't help you. That doesn't help you. All that does, it helps you to be comfortable as a sinner as you make your way on down to hell. I wouldn't advise that. I would advise looking up and looking for help and saying, I'm a sinner. Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to be a sinner. God is not a sinner. Why do I have to be a sinner? Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Because you don't have to be a sinner. God has a fix for that. Are you interested? You are a sinner. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. You are a sinner. Romans 3:10, you are no good. No good. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. You're a sinner. You're no good. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's none that doeth good. No, not one, the Word of God says. Psalm 39:5 says, you are vain at your best. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. You do the very best you can in your natural state, and God will reject it because it's the best from a sinner. God isn't interested in your sins. God isn't interested in your self-righteousness. He calls your self-righteousness filthy rags in Isaiah 64:6. You are vain at your best. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me in my natural state. You are evil. Luke 11:13. Evil. You know what we want to think that Adolf Hitler is evil. Genghis Khan and Charles Manson are evil. And some of these freaks that go in and screwed up schools and kill kids and rape women and brutal things like that. And Muslims that you know, blow up buildings and kill innocent people. We want to think they're evil. And they are. But God says you're evil too. Because you've sinned against a holy God. See, that's what we don't do. We don't compare ourselves to God. We compare ourselves to one another. And when we do, we compare ourselves to somebody that's really, really bad, like Hitler or Charles Manson. And we look pretty good now compared to them. God says, yes, but I don't compare you to them. I compare you to my son. And you don't measure up. You're evil. You're an evil thinker, Mark 7:21. You're evil, Luke 11:13. You're an evil thinker, Mark 7:21. You know that's true. You have evil thoughts go through your mind. Well, God knows about it. God records it. I'm going to play it back one day. You ready for that? Or would you like it all erased so it never gets played back? That's the deal I want. I don't want it played back. You're wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. Wicked. How about that? You're wicked. You're filthy, Isaiah 64:6, called filthy rags. Filthy. You're ungodly, Romans 5:6. You're a lawbreaker, 1 John 3:4. You're a liar, Romans 3:4. You're lost, Luke 19:10. You're without hope, Ephesians 2:12. You're without God. Without God, without hope, without God, Ephesians 2:12. You're a child of the devil. Think of that. I thought God was everyone's father. Nope, not what the book says. 1 John 3:10, you're a child of the devil. You're God's enemy, Romans 5:10. You're under God's wrath. The Bible doesn't say you're under God's love and mercy. It says you're under his wrath in your natural state. John 3:36. You are condemned already. You're not waiting to be condemned. God has already signed the condemnation. You're condemned already. John 3:18. And you are going to hell. Luke 16:22-23. Now that's what God says you are. Now let's flip the other side and see what God says you can become. It's a matter of choice. You can become a redeemed saint. A redeemed saint, Colossians 1:12. A righteous soul before God, Romans 4:5. A believer washed from all sin, Revelation 1:5. A believer white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. A redeemed soul with joy, Romans 14:17. A winner in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:14. A perfected soul before God, Hebrews 10:14. A son of God instead of a son of the devil, John 1:12. A believer born of God, John 3:3-8. A believer born of God's word, 1 Peter 1:23. A child loved by God, 1 John 3:1. A new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. A triumphant overcomer, 1 John 4:4. A believer sealed with God's Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. A possessor of eternal life, John 10:28-29. A soul at peace with God, Romans 5:1. A soul not condemned, 1 Corinthians 11:32. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3, a citizen of heaven, John 14:1-3, and a king to rule forever, Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. You have a choice. You can be condemned forever by being what you are, or you can say, I'm tired of being what I am. I'm ready to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. I don't like that first list. I want to be in that second list. That is a choice you have, and you have it in Jesus Christ. Trust him today. Call on us or visit us if we can help you. James Melton, Bible Baptist in Sharon, 130 East Main in Sharon. May the Lord bless you, and good day.